The more you think about other people, the more humble you are. If you walk into this room and you think, what does everybody else think about me? How do I look? You're being prideful. If you walk into this room and you think, how could I help the people in this room? You're being humble. The focus isn't on you. The focus is on the other people. Humility has nothing to do with what you think of yourself. Humility has what you think about other people. In other words, humility is not putting myself down. Humility is building other people up. Humble people build other people up. Great people make people feel great. Little people belittle people.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we're continuing in our series called The Habits of Happiness, and this will be part two of a message called The Humble Path to Happiness. It's taken from the book of Philippians. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that will show you how to find real and lasting happiness based on what God's Word has to say on the subject. It's called The Habits of Happiness DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. You can find out more right now by going to rickwarren.org or by texting the word daily to 313131 while you listen to today's broadcast. Now here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
Now in Galatians, another book that Paul wrote, Paul lists about 17 effects of living with pride. He calls it the works of the flesh. He says, when we live this self-centered, this self-concerned, this self-indulgent life, he said it shows up in all kinds of ways. And he starts off by saying things like, self-indulgence shows up in sexual immorality and wild partying and getting drunk and all of, you would expect those things. But most of the things on the list are actually the sins that we have to deal with, relational sins. Let me read them to you. Galatians 5, 19, 20, 21. Says this, our self-indulgent nature, in other words, my natural desire to think of me and not about you, to think I'm number one and not worry about what you think, our self-indulgent nature shows itself in conflict, check that one, quarreling, check that one, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition. It shows up in causing divisions among people and the feeling that everyone else is wrong except those in your little own group. You know anybody like that? That's because they let their pride be their guide. Paul says, if you're going to have happiness, you got to have harmony. And if you're going to have harmony, you got to have humility. And so never let pride be your guide. Now, the second habit is the flip side of it. It's just another way of saying the same thing, but it's this. Write it down. Be humble or I'll stumble. I must be humble or I'll stumble. If I'm not humble, my relationship will crumble. Humility is the basis and foundation of every great marriage and every great friendship. Because in humility, you don't act like you know it all. And you treat each other with respect. And you give each other more honor. And you don't go 50-50. Marriage is not a 50-50. It's 110-110. You give 110 and your spouse gives 110. And you try to outdo each other in honor. Philippians 2, verse 3, the next verse says this. It says, instead of, don't do anything from selfish ambition or vain conceit. It says, instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourself. Now again, that's the opposite of what our culture teaches. Our culture teaches, I got to do what's best for me. I got to look out for number one. I got to think about me. I've got to live for myself. I've got to do what makes me happy. If it feels good, do it. And all these selfish, self-centered, narcissistic rules that we've been taught throughout life. And Paul comes along and says, no, be humble and give more honor to others than yourself. Now circle the word humble, because humility is probably the most misunderstood quality that we need in life. A lot of people think humility means going around saying, oh, I'm no good, I'm nothing, I'm a zero, I'm a cipher, I'm zip, I can't do anything. No, that's not humility, that's false humility. That's just degrading yourself. No, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. You hear the difference? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. I'm no good. I'm not. That's not humility. That's false humility. Humility is you just don't think about yourself. You think about other people. The more you think about other people, the more humble you are. If you walk into this room and you think, what does everybody else think about me? How do I look? You're being prideful. If you walk into this room and you think, how could I help the people in this room? You're being humble. The focus isn't on you. The focus is on the other people. Humility has nothing to do with what you think of yourself. Humility is what you think about other people. In other words, humility is not putting myself down. Humility is building other people up. Humble people build other people up. Great people make people feel great. Little people belittle people. Now the Bible says, instead be humble and give more honor to others than yourself. In other words, humility is not devaluing me, it's valuing others more. Let me say another way of saying it. Humility is not denying your strengths. It's being honest about your weaknesses. We're all a bundle of strengths and weaknesses. You have some great strengths. You do. And you have some great weaknesses. And humility is being honest about both. I'm good at this, and I'm not good at that. I'm strong in this, I'm really weak in this. I have some really great strengths, and I have some enormous weaknesses. Just ask my staff, ask my family, ask me, I'll tell you. Because I'm not trying to hide them. And humility is simply being honest about both. The Bible says, be humble and give more honor to others than yourself. Now, why should I be humble? Because God makes more promises in the Bible about humility than anything else except generosity. Let me give you a few things God promises to do if you live a humble life. If you live dependent upon Him, if you think about others instead of thinking about yourself. God says, I will give you my presence. I will give you my power. I will give you my peace. I will make you prosperous. I will make you successful. And I will give you great honor. The very thing everybody wants in life, God says, comes not through pride, not through bragging, not through boasting, not through pretending you're something you're not, not through posing and being a poser. It comes through humility. And God says, I bless the humble person.
That's Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called The Humble Path to Happiness. It's from our series, The Habits of Happiness. And Rick will be back with more great teaching in just a moment, so stay here. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word DAILY to 313131. Again, that's the word DAILY to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Now, more than ever, people are yearning for true happiness. In the six-session DVD study kit called The Habits of Happiness, Pastor Rick Warren will teach you exercises for a happy heart and offer biblically-based ways to develop a perspective of contentment. Through this study, you'll learn how to cultivate the transformational habits of gratitude, forgiveness, humility, and contentment. Relieve stress and conflict by staying focused on your God-given purpose. Stop comparing yourself to others. Release the pain of your past hurts and grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit rickwarren.org to get your copy of this amazing resource. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. Thanks so much for your support. When you contact us, remember to ask for the Habits of Happiness DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren.
Once again, here's Rick.
Let me give you a few things God promises to do if you live a humble life. If you live dependent upon Him, if you think about others instead of thinking about yourself. God says, I will give you my presence. I will give you my power. I will give you my peace. I will make you prosperous. I will make you successful, and I will give you great honor. The very thing everybody wants in life, God says, comes not through pride, not through bragging, not through boasting, not through pretending you're something you're not, not through posing and being a poser. It comes through humility. And God says, I bless the humble person. In fact, in James 4:6, there in your outline, it says this: God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, notice the good and the bad, the carrot and the stick. God opposes the proud. Circle opposes. You know what the Bible says? God hates pride. Does God hate anything? Oh, yeah. There are some things God hates. And one of the things God hates is ego, arrogance, pride, conceit, self-centeredness, self-promotion. God hates pride. And he says, God opposes that proud. That means anytime I am acting or saying something or thinking in a prideful way, an arrogant, a conceited way, I am on the opposite side of God. I may even have the right cause, but if I'm presenting it in a prideful way, God says, you're wrong. Whoa. You may have all the right politics figured out, but if you're prideful and arrogant about it, guess what? You're wrong. You're on the opposite side of God. God doesn't just say, oh, it's okay, we'll let you get away with a little bit of pride. God says, I hate it and I oppose it. And every time I'm prideful and every time you're prideful, I'm on the opposite side of God. I'm in a battle with God, and I'm going to lose that battle because your arms and my arms are too short to box with God. That's the negative side. The positive side, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What's grace? Grace is the ability to forgive when I don't feel like forgiving. Grace is the ability to resolve a conflict with my husband or my wife when I don't feel like it. Grace is the ability to compromise. Grace is the ability to get along. Grace is the ability to build a strong relationship when everything wants to tear your marriage, your friendship, whatever, that relationship apart. You need grace. The only way your relationships will last is with God's grace. And the only way you get God's grace is by being humble. So, I must never let my pride be my guide, and I must be humble or I will stumble and my relationships will crumble. Man, I'm a poet this weekend. Number three, here's the third habit for overcoming conflict. This one sounds easy, but we don't do it. Learn the lost art of paying attention. If you want to have a happy life, you're going to have happy relationships. And in order to have happy relationships, you got to have humility in the middle of them. And part of that is learning the lost art of paying attention. You know, we now live in an ADD world. Attention deficit disorder. Everybody's got it. Why? Because our tools and technology have trained us to no longer pay attention to the people around us in our lives. We pay attention to screens more than we pay attention to people. I mean, you walk into a meeting, and how many people are sitting there looking at their phone texting? They're not paying attention to the people. They're paying attention to screen. Or, you know, your head's always down in a video game. You know, looking in the video game. Or you're walking across a campus or taking a lunch break and you got earbuds and you're listening to your iPod. There's no way you can pay attention to the people around you. Somebody could be dying and in deep pain and you're in your own little self-centered world. I've closed out everybody else and I'm in this. Because our technology has made us to no longer pay attention to people. In other words, you're sitting here with two friends and you're tweeting to 25. And then you're really worried about, is anybody retweeting it? Or is anybody liking my post? And what's that saying? It's all about me. Social media can feed your narcissism, can feed your pride if you let it. And you get distracted from seeing the people around you. I hesitate in sharing this, but I'm going to anyway. This morning, I went to pick up my mother-in-law, Kay's mom, sweet, sweet mom. She's in her 80s. She's at an assisted living place. And when I pulled up, I got out of my car, and she walked out, and I helped get her in. And as I got back around to the other side to get in the car, an aide was pushing an elderly woman down in front of the car in a wheelchair. Well, I just paused, and it's not rocket science. I just walked over to her and said, "How are you today?" And patted her and, on thing. And I said, "You look really great." She said, "Ma'am, can I say you look babelicious?" Now, as a 90-year-old, she probably had no idea what I was saying. Didn't even know what the word meant. But she kind of figured out it was a compliment. And she smiled. And, it was nothing. I mean, it was no big heroic act. It was just a kind thing. I just, instead of getting in the car, walked over and said that. I got in the car, and my mother-in-law said, "Thank you, Rick." I said, "What, Mom?" She goes, "Most people are too wrapped up in themselves to notice us." I thought, that took me a whole 8 seconds. There was nothing to it. It was just being nice to the people around me. It was no skin off my back. It took nothing, but it might have brightened that lady's day. Maybe her kids don't live in the nation in America, or don't live in the state, or maybe they don't pay attention to her. How many people do you walk by every day and you have lost the art of paying attention? Because it's all about you. And it's all about your agenda. And I got to get to my next meeting. And if, as the Good Samaritan, somebody who's lying on the side of the road, you might not even see him. If you're going to be humble, you got to learn the lost art of paying attention. Here's what the Bible says. It's the next verse, verse 4. "Don't be interested only in your own life, but be interested in what others care about too." In other words, don't just be interested in your agenda, your career, your favorite hobbies. Be interested in what other people are interested in. Be interested in their needs. Let me say, dads particularly, this is a simple but powerful tool in helping raise your kids. You just got to be interested, not in what you want them to be interested in, but have them be interested in what they are interested in. There's a word for that. It's love. There's another word for it, humility. And the Bible says those are the kind of things that build relationship. Don't be interested only in your own life, but be interested. Are you interested in what your wife says? Are you interested in what your kids say? Are you interested in what your husband says? See, again, this is not natural. Because by nature, I couldn't care less what you think. By nature, I really don't care what you're interested in. I'm only interested in what I'm interested in. And if you're not interested in what I'm interested in, why should I even pay attention to you? Let me give you an example. If I were to stand up here right now and take a picture of the thousands of people sitting right here right now, and then I gave each of you a copy of the picture, who is the first person you'd look for? Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. You'd go straight to, "Where am I? Where am I? Where am I? Where am I?" And you'd either go, "Wow, my hair looks good today," or, "I look fat in that color," or, you have all these comments. And if you thought you looked good, it's a great picture. All right. And if you don't look good, that picture sucks. It's just terrible. It's no good. Well, that is the human nature. You think about you more than anything else. God says, you want to really be happy? You got to change your frame of reference. Because harmony doesn't come from you thinking about you all the time. It comes from you being interested in what other people are interested in and caring about what they care about and being concerned with what they're concerned about. So let me ask a very blatant, frank question. Are you interested in only what concerns you? Do you get bored when you talk to friends and they talk about things they are interested in and you couldn't care less about? Wah, 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 and wah, and something in your mind goes, "Get me out of this place." You find your attention drifting. You need to learn the lost art of paying attention. That's an act of love. The greatest gift you can give somebody is your attention, because your attention is your time, and your time is your life. You're never going to get it back. If I give you money, I can always get more money. But if I give you my attention, I'm never getting that back. When I look you in the eye, it's saying to you, you matter to me. What you're saying to me is important. Now, you can listen without paying attention. In fact, you can get real good at it. as a parent, as a partner, as a friend. You know, you're listening, and you can even go, and you're thinking about a million other things. And you go, yeah, oh yeah, and they're telling you all about your day, and you're already thinking about something else. That's not paying attention. That's listening, but it's not paying attention. Learn the lost art of paying attention. Don't be interested in just your own life, but others, what others care about too. Then number four, the fourth thing you need to do is you ask, what would Jesus do? Now, I know this sounds like a trite question, but it's really true. And it comes from this verse, Philippians 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And so, if I really care about relationships, if I want to lower the conflict and I want to raise the harmony in my life so we can have more happiness in our lives, I got to never let my pride be my guide. I've got to always be humble or I'll stumble. I've got to learn the lost art of paying attention. And then the fourth thing, I have to ask myself, in this situation, in this conflict, what would Jesus do? In this problem, what would Jesus do? In this time when somebody's feeling guilty, what would Jesus do? In this time where somebody's worried, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do at the office in this situation? What would Jesus do out on the golf course? What would Jesus do as I'm driving down the freeway and somebody just tried to run me off the road? What would Jesus do? You ask that over and over again, and you'll always come up with a humble answer. You always come up with the one that builds harmony and happiness rather than difficulty, defeat, bitterness, and resentment. You say, well, I don't know what it means to act like Jesus. How would Jesus act at my school? How would Jesus act in my marriage? How would Jesus treat my wife? How would Jesus treat my husband? Well, fortunately, we have three examples in the next couple verses as we end this passage. Acting like Jesus means three things. You ought to write these down. Number one, it means I don't demand what I think I deserve. That's acting like Jesus.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with a closing thought. But just before that, we'd like to remind you that if you'd like a copy of today's broadcast or this entire series, you can simply go to rickwarren.org to get a hold of a copy for yourself or a friend. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional and check out all the other available resources. Now, more than ever, people are yearning for true happiness. In the six-session DVD study kit called The Habits of Happiness, Pastor Rick Warren will teach you exercises for a happy heart and offer biblically-based ways to develop a perspective of contentment. Through this study, you'll learn how to cultivate the transformational habits of gratitude, forgiveness, humility, and contentment. Relieve stress and conflict by staying focused on your God-given purpose. Stop comparing yourself to others. Release the pain of your past hurts and grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus. We'll send it your way as our way of saying thanks for your financial support. Now here's Rick to tell you more.
The other day I got this note on Facebook. It said, Pastor Rick, I've walked down many roads searching for happiness, but nothing is ever as good as it promises to be. And I am frustrated. I just want to be happy. Can you help me? The answer to that question is absolutely I can help you. The Bible teaches us that happiness is not something you look for. Happiness is something you create. Did you hear that? Happiness is a choice. You can be as happy as you choose to be. Now, the first thing you need to understand about happiness is that it's not a goal. It's the result of right thinking, right living, and right acting. If you simply make happiness your goal, you're going to live a very self-centered life, and there's no way you're going to be happy. God will use this study kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life. So get this kit today.
When you contact us, remember to ask for the Habits of Happiness DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit rickwarren.org to get your copy of this amazing resource. That's 800-600-5004, or rickwarren.org. Thank you so much for your support. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.